Hey everybody, this is Emma from The Big Bellied Yogi, a podcast that shows you that it is possible to follow your dreams, be active, and be healthy at any size. As a yoga teacher who dares to show up in life in a larger body, I'm keen to share my life experiences, expert research, and practical lifestyle and fitness tips so you can feel comfortable in your body, no matter your size. Welcome to the show. Hey there, it's Emma here, and welcome to this week's episode. Lately, I've been trolled a lot on Instagram with men. It's always men telling me that by taking a stance against diets, that means I'm taking a stance against being healthy. I've also been told that fat bitches are going to die early. That's the kind of comments I'm getting. But I feel okay because I'm not a bitch, so I should be fine. But to be honest, I think there's a whole episode about some of the comments that I've been getting on Instagram and just some of the false kind of logic around some of them. So that will be a whole other episode. But that's the kind of stuff that I get on Instagram. And it's interesting because I don't even have a really large body. Like, you know, I am plus size, but I'm not, you know, a really big body. And people who show up in the world in larger bodies are subjected to horrible comments. And not just in the whole aspect of Instagram, like through social media. These people are, you know, told things to their faces constantly. And I think before I get into this whole episode, I just want to talk about this a little bit because we have to understand that every human being, no matter their size, is worthy of dignity and is worthy of being alive and is worthy of being treated like a human being. So I've gone off on a little tangent already, but it will definitely be an episode that I'll do sometime down the track when I've collected a few more comments, because I've got quite a few already. But I know there's more to come. But in this week's episode, I really want to debunk the myth that if you are anti-diet, you're also anti-health. Because that's a lot of what the comments are, that if I'm saying that it's okay to not diet, then that means I'm saying it's okay to be unhealthy. And even using that word, okay to be unhealthy, there's so much to unpack with that. And I might link in the show notes to an Instagram live I did recently about privilege, right? Not everyone is able to do all the healthy behaviors that they would like to do or that they know they, in quotes, should do because of privilege, because of lack of privilege. You know, maybe they're working a couple of jobs because they don't earn enough money in their primary job, so they don't have a lot of time to exercise or cook healthy food from scratch. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but people who are in larger bodies tend to get lower paying jobs because the higher paying jobs go to people who are thin. So there's definitely a privilege, you know, around being thin. And that can impact people who have larger bodies not being able to earn enough money to be able to have time to be able to cook and go and exercise. That's one thing. So this is such a complicated issue. And, you know, the people that troll me on Instagram and troll other people in real life, they're really looking at this from such a simple one-dimensional view. And it's really a lot more complicated than that. So yes, in this episode, I really want to talk about the idea that just because I'm anti-diet doesn't mean that I'm anti-health. But I also understand that for some people, it's very difficult to be healthy for a lot of different reasons. And I guess the idea of this episode is to educate you and maybe someone you want to share this episode with about how, you know, being anti-diet is not being anti-health. And there's a lot to do with being anti-diet. There's a whole lot about this movement. And so in the episode, I just want to touch on some of these things. So the first thing I want to do is define the word diet. So Oxford Languages, when I Googled it, this is what they said. There's two different definitions. One is, the one definition of diet is the kind of foods that a person, animal, or community habitually eats. So that makes sense. Like, you know, I'm on a vegetarian diet, means that I don't eat meat. I'm not a vegetarian, by the way, but so that's, you know, when you talk about my diet consists of fruits and vegetables, the occasional bit of chocolate and some mineral water, let's just say, then that's not saying I'm on a diet. That's just saying that's what my diet consists of. So that's that first definition of diet. Then we have the second definition, which is a special course of food to which a person restricts themselves either to lose weight or for medical reasons. And so in this episode, and pretty much any other episode that I'll do on the podcast, when I talk about diets, I mean when people restrict themselves in order to lose weight. Now, people do restrict themselves for medical reasons, also for ethical reasons and for religious reasons. And those things, I'm not talking about those things. So, you know, for medical reasons, if you're a celiac, you're not going to eat gluten. If for ethical reasons, you know, if you're 100% against any kind of animal cruelty, you might be a vegan. And for religious reasons, you know, if you're Jewish, you don't eat pork, you're kosher. So those reasons are completely valid. That's a reason to restrict yourself. But sometimes, again, let's think about diet culture can sometimes co-opt some of these things to make diets sound like it's for a medical reason, for instance, like, you know, restricting all gluten because gluten's bad for you. Well, gluten's not bad for everybody, but it is bad for celiacs, you know? So sometimes these exceptions to dieting can become co-opted by diets. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to dieting. I'm talking about when people restrict themselves in order to lose weight. And I guess from that, I mean people restrict themselves to lose weight because they think it's healthier. So let's start to unpack the idea that being anti-diet is anti-health. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that people believe diets are healthy. So is being on a diet healthy? And the answer to that is no. And there's lots of reasons why. I've come up with four to talk about today. There's probably a lot more. I'm sure there is a lot more, but I'm going to restrict myself to four. And here they are. So the first reason why diets aren't healthy is they don't work. So more than 90% of people that will go on a restrictive diet to lose weight will put the weight back on. Now, it might take a few years for the weight to come back on, but it will come back on. And in about 65% of cases, people will put on even more weight than the weight they originally lost. So this actually causes some health issues. When we go through weight cycling, so what happens is you go on a diet, you lose some weight, fantastic. Then you put the weight back on and you're like, well, I did this diet and it worked. So I'm going to go on another diet to lose the weight because I know I can because I've done it before. So you lose some weight and you put the weight back on. You might put even more weight back on. So what's happening is you're going up and down in weight. That's called weight cycling. Now, weight cycling can cause a whole host of health problems. One of the most obvious ones, I think, to most people is that it affects your metabolism. So you probably may have, I say probably, you probably have had this situation where you've lost weight easily in the past, but now if you try and go on a diet, you don't lose weight very easily. And that's because your metabolism has been affected. So your body has gone, I'm not getting enough food, because that's what happens when you're restricting yourself. Your body is going into starvation mode, and I'm not joking when I say this. And so the body's a smart thing, and it's like, well, I'm going to slow down my metabolism. I'm not going to use up as much energy because I'm not getting as much food. And so over time, it's harder for you to lose weight because your metabolism, the way you burn energy, has slowed down, which means you need to eat even less food than before. But then your body goes, oh, I'm even more in starvation mode now. And so it starts to slow down the metabolism even more. So that's one reason why diets don't work. And then the reason why that's unhealthy for you is the metabolism doesn't just control, you know, your weight. It controls things like your blood pressure and your brain function. And so, again, you might have experienced this when you've been on a diet. You might be losing weight, but you're experiencing a lot of brain fog. And that's because your brain can't function properly. And it's also slowing down because your metabolism is slowing down. Something else that they've seen in research is that when we go up and down in weight, when we weight cycle because of dieting, then it can affect things like blood pressure. So our blood pressure goes higher when we've been weight cycling. Now, originally people thought that's because people have put on weight. That's why their blood pressure's gone up. But the research is showing it's not because you've got weight on, it's because you've been going up and down in weight. So for people who've always been heavier, who've never done a diet, their blood pressure isn't as high as people who have gone up and down in weight because they've been dieting. So you can see this is just two examples, but there are actually lots of different examples that show you that actually being on diets, losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight is unhealthy for your body and actually makes your body function in a less optimal way and can cause health issues. So this isn't something that we're hearing about, you know, in the public media very much. And I think, you know, we probably all know someone who's kept the weight off because 10% of people can. But you don't know if that's you or not until you try. And you probably don't know if that's you or not until you've tried dieting at least twice. And you might think that that's worth it. But over the long term, the amount of health issues you can gain from dieting are actually, in my opinion, not worth it. But of course, you're an adult human. You can make your decision on that. Okay, so the second reason why diets are not healthy is that they cause this binge and restrict cycle. So I'm not talking necessarily about binge eating disorder, although I could be. But what I'm talking about is that because of this fact that diets work really well and then they stop working because bodies go into starvation mode, metabolism slows down, we stop losing weight. What happens is people go on the diet, they get great results, they're following the diet, they're eating really healthy, they're going to the gym, they're doing the exercise that goes with the diet, or they, you know, most people start to diet and do exercise programs at the same time. And then it either becomes too hard to keep up with, or they're not losing weight anymore, or something happens in their life, so eating really restrictive is really hard work, and they stop dieting. And then what happens is they just let it all go. It's kind of what's known as the fuck it factor. So it's like, oh, well, I can't diet anymore, so fuck it. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. And so what happens is people go through these phases of eating really well and exercising for a period of time, maybe months, maybe a year, maybe a bit more, and then they stop and then they don't do anything. They might, you know, they eat fairly healthy because they enjoy vegetables, but they also eat a lot more crappy food than they used to, and they're not exercising as much as they used to, and they're not looking after their bodies in the way that they used to. So that's this binge and restrict kind of cycle. And because diets get harder and harder to maintain, people have to do more extreme things to try and get the weight loss. And so they get even more restrictive, and they might not last very long on the diet, and they last longer off the diet when they're not looking after themselves as well. So that's another issue, and that's why diet mentality isn't particularly healthy. Talking about mentality, the third reason why diets are not very healthy is because of the psychological damage they do. So diets really set us up to feel a lot of shame because when, you know, we see all this stuff in the media about, you know, before and after pictures and, you know, Sally went on a diet and look how amazing she looks now. And so we're led to believe that everyone keeps the weight off, because that's what we're kind of shown when we know, when you know now, I've told you 90% of people don't keep the weight off, but we feel shame when we put the weight back on. And shame is a very damaging emotion, especially when we're carrying it around with us all the time. We also feel a lot of guilt. So, you know, food is one of the most amazing pleasures we have in our life, but we end up developing a lot of guilt around what we're eating, or guilt around exercise. I mean, you know, for those of us who are able-bodied, shouldn't we feel lucky to be able to move our bodies and not guilt and shame for not moving or for not doing as much as we think we should be doing? Like, there shouldn't be those feelings around our bodies. And also this feeling of inadequacy. You know, everyone else can keep their weight off, but I can't. When in reality, that makes you human, you know? So there's a lot of psychological damage. But for some people, it moves even further into, you know, eating disorder territory. And besides substance abuse, eating disorders are the most deadly type of psychological disorder. You know, more people die from eating disorders than any other mental disorder except for substance abuse. So it's serious. And it's hard to know what's going to tip someone into eating disorder territory. And eating disorders are growing. Like, the numbers of people that are experiencing eating disorders are growing. And the number one common factor about people who develop eating disorders is that they've been on a diet. So if you've never been on a diet, you won't develop an eating disorder. So that's another reason why diets are not healthy. And the fourth reason is a really important one, but probably an underestimated one. And that's that they cause us to lose touch with our body's natural mechanisms. So we're born knowing how much food we need to eat. We're born knowing about how much movement we need to do to stay healthy. And when I say knowing, I don't mean in your brain, you're like as a baby going, I need to have 100 mils of milk each feed or whatever it is. But it's just this innate thing. Our bodies are friggin' smart, right? And so it's this innate thing that our bodies know how much to eat, when to stop, when to eat again. But diets rob us of that, because we're told how much to eat, how often, when, all that kind of thing. And, you know, if you've been on a diet, which you probably have, you've experienced that feeling of being extremely hungry, but just learning to just get over it because it's not time to eat, or you've already had all your calories for the day, or whatever, however it works. And so you lose that innate knowing of how much is right for you. And this can be one of the hardest things about becoming anti-diet and about leaving diet culture, is that we have to relearn all of that. And that's hard work. And I'm going to talk about that a bit later on in the podcast. But we rob ourselves of this natural, innate thing. I've got a couple of beautiful examples of this, right? But my favorite, no, I'm not going to say it's my favorite, because I've got two great examples. And they're anecdotal. I'm not a scientist, but there's definitely studies out there to prove what I'm saying. But my first one was a couple of years ago. We went to Bali. So I took a group of beautiful women to Bali for a retreat for a week. And part of the package of where we were staying was we had a chef, and they were cooking us breakfast every morning and lunch. And so, you know, every morning, we had a lot of Indonesian food to choose from. So like nasi goreng and like lots of rice and probably a lot like carb heavy kind of food. And after about 3 days, like most of the participants from the retreat came up to me separately and said, oh, Emma, can we get some more veggies? So like everyone was loving the rice for the first few days, but after a few days, everyone just wanted more veggies. So even though we're on this holiday and we had food provided for us and we could just eat whatever we could eat the naughty food, the fried rice, whenever we wanted, it was kind of part of the package. Everyone was saying, nah, I think I just want some veggies. So like that was just an example of how people, you know, want what's good for them. You know, our bodies want what's good for us. My second example, which is one that I really love, is that earlier this year for Easter, I took some Easter eggs over and I was taking them to my 3 3/4, that's how old he was at the time, nephew. And when I arrived with the Easter eggs, he said, "Oh, no thanks, Auntie Em. I've already had enough chocolate." Right? So when we're 3 3/4, we know that we've had enough chocolate. But when we've been restricting ourselves from chocolate, and we always think, "Oh, well, this will be the last chocolate I'll ever have," or, you know, "I won't have any chocolate again for a month," or whatever, however we're restricting ourselves. Every time we tell ourselves that, we are restricting ourselves, and our mind goes, "Well, all I want is chocolate." But this kid, you know, he was 3 3/4. He didn't, you know, doesn't understand time as well as adults do. But he's like, in his mind, he had all the chocolate he'd ever want because he'd had enough that day. And that's how we're born. That's what we come with. We come with that mechanism, but we lose that through dieting. All right, so that's the first big topic, that diets, we're led to believe diets are healthy, but there's some reasons why they're not. The second thing about people who say that being anti-diet is the same as being anti-health is that people believe that being overweight or obese is unhealthy. And my answer to that is not necessarily. So it really depends a lot on other health behaviors. So whether you're eating fruits and veggies, and whether you're getting enough exercise, and how much stress you're under, how much sleep you're getting, right? And so many people believe that, you know, if you're overweight or obese, that must mean that you're just lazy and you've done something wrong. But that's not true either. You can get overweight or obese in other ways. It's not just about being lazy and eating shit foods. It can be things like your age, your hormones, the amount of stress you're under, medications you're taking, genetics you have, how much weight cycling you've done. That can make a huge difference as well. How many diets you've been on. So it's a lot more complicated than the way people think. And so people look at someone with a larger body and think, "Ah, lazy, eat like shit." But you can't tell that by looking at someone. In the same way that looking at someone who's thin, you cannot tell if they're healthy or not. You don't know if they exercise or if they eat lots of vegetables just by looking at them. And I was listening to a really great podcast called Maintenance Phase. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, I highly recommend you listen to that if you're not listening already. But in Maintenance Phase, they were talking about some Sports Illustrated swimsuit models, and how there was a larger bodied one this year and there was some uproar about it. And how, you know, we look at models and there's probably not any thinner model in the world that hasn't had some sort of eating disorder, who hasn't been told, "Oh, you just need to lose 5 more kilos to be on this shoot." Like, they, you know, I shouldn't say every model, but a lot of models put themselves through hell to look the way they look, you know, and we can't look at them and go, "They're healthy," because we don't know that just by looking at them. And the same way, we don't know if overweight people are unhealthy by looking at them. So there's no denying that having extra weight can cause some issues. But you cannot look at someone who's overweight and say that they are necessarily unhealthy without knowing more about them and without asking them questions. Not that it's actually any of your business. But someone else's size is actually none of your business. And here's the really interesting fact that's, you know, backed up by science. And I'll put a link to like a really great article, peer-reviewed scientific article review that shows you a lot of this stuff that I'm talking about in the show notes. But here's the thing. Overweight and obese people live just as long as someone that is normal weight. and in some cases they live longer. So if we're going to look at, you know, people being larger bodied, being unhealthy, what's the problem with being unhealthy? Well, they're not going to live as long. Well, guess what? They do. So that's another reason why people who say that being anti-diet and is the same as being anti-health, it's not true. The third thing is that there is so much moralizing over health and weight. So you're a good person who eats good food and does good things with your body if you're thin, you know? And, oh, I've been good so I can eat that. Or, oh, that's bad, I'm not going to eat that. There's good food and bad food and there's good bodies and bad bodies. And, you know, if you're healthy, that means you've been good. And if you're not healthy, that means you've been bad. Oh, there's so much to unpack there. And I can't really go into all of that in this one episode, but I want you to think about it, right? How often we talk about good and bad when it comes to food and health and bodies. And bodies are just bodies, really. The body itself hasn't been good or bad. It's kind of the person inside the body. But even then, we go back to that discussion about privilege that I was just talking about. You know, some people can't be, in quotation marks, good because they've got too much else going on in their life. And are we going to really, like, kick someone when they're down? Are we going to make them feel bad about their health choices when they haven't got time to do anything else, for example? But that's what diet culture does to us. It makes us feel like, you know, if I'm not exercising and I'm not eating right, then there's something wrong with me and I'm a bad person. And it doesn't allow for the fact that maybe I'm working really hard at the moment. Maybe I'm recovering from an illness. Maybe there's been a death in the family. Maybe, I'm suffering from depression. Like, all of those things can impact your ability to be a healthy person, to do healthy behaviors. And are we really going to kick people when they're down? And diet culture encourages us to do that. But let's make a decision right now to not do that anymore. So the question might be, how can you be healthy if you're not on a diet? So forget all the stuff I've just told you about how dieting is actually not healthy for you. If you're still in the mindset, and it's really hard, by the way, when for years we've been told that being thin is the healthiest thing, to be thin, you need to be on a diet. It's really hard to get your brain around the fact that some of that stuff's not true. So how can you be healthy if you aren't on a diet? It is possible. It's absolutely possible. Some of the things that you can do is start to embrace intuitive eating. So this is a framework around really relearning to trust your body around food. And to know that it's okay to eat when you're hungry until you're not hungry anymore. It's okay to trust your body, and it's okay to know that sometimes you'll eat good foods, in quotation marks. Sometimes you'll eat healthier foods. Sometimes you won't. But that it all ends up balancing out. And I've been practicing intuitive eating for a few years now. It's a process. You don't just click back into intuitive eating after being in a diet mindset for years. And I would say after about 2 or 3 years of practicing this, it's only been the last couple of months that it's really kicked in for me. But I know that I go through a phase where I'm not eating particularly well, like I could be eating more fruits and veggies. But very quickly, I reset naturally. All I want to eat is fruit and veggies, right? And then I might have a slip up and go back, you know, to having a few bad days, in quotation marks. It's very hard not to talk about it in those terms because that's how we've all been taught. But my body resets itself constantly. The second thing is to, again, rediscover movement from a gentle perspective, from a joyful perspective, to do it in a way that feels good rather than punishing. I had someone recently just start my yoga classes. She's got a lot of lower back pain. And after the first class, she felt really great for a few days, which is longer than normal at the moment for her. And she said, I loved her because it was so gentle. And I said, well, you get a lot out of gentle exercise. And she said, it's not what we're taught though, is it? And it's not. We're taught to do the hardcore exercise. But a lot of us don't enjoy hardcore exercise. So we might do that for 2 days and then stop. Or we might do it once and get badly injured and not go back for years. So taking that more gentle and joyful approach to movement, and maybe even letting go of, you know, classes or prescriptive exercise, and just walk when we can or stretch when we can and do what feels good. Another way to be healthy without being on a diet is to really learn to accept yourself as you are now. And that's really hard because we're all given messages that we should be thinner, or, you know, we should change our bodies to look a certain way. But what if you could wake up every morning and believe that you are enough just as you are, that there's nothing wrong with your body, that it's doing the best it can for you in any given moment, that you're still here and you're alive, and that you're worthy of eating fruits and veggies and moving your body? You know, imagine treating your body with love and respect as opposed to deprivation and punishment. It's actually a much healthier, more healthier approach. Which is what the Health at Every Size movement's all about, which is another sort of part to the anti-diet movement, which is this approach that you can be healthy at pretty much any size. But that does take eating fruits and veggies, you know, moving your body, learning to deal with stress, getting enough sleep. All those things are really important, but the one thing you do is you take away the expectation of weight loss. You take away the expectation that, you know, everything will be better if you lose weight. We put so much pressure on losing weight that, you know, we can only be happy once we've lost weight. All of this takes time. It's not easy to unlearn diet culture. It's not easy to sort of change your mind to be anti something diet that you've been pro your whole life. It takes time. And I want to give you an example from my own life. And that is that over the last few years, I've put on a lot of weight, and I couldn't tell you exactly what it is because I don't really weigh myself anymore. But that's due to the fact that I had a hysterectomy when I was 43. So I became menopausal overnight at 43. A lot of women put on weight once they become menopausal. I had multiple surgeries because of endometriosis, and that I've got a lot of scar tissue in my belly, so I carry my weight in my belly anyway, but I also have a lot of scar tissue in that area, which, you know, increases the size. And I've endured a lot of stress in my life, mostly because of my health problems, but they've, you know, they've impacted me in lots of different ways, like financially and, you know, emotionally. It's difficult having a hysterectomy. Like, all of those things have impacted my body. But even though I've put on this weight, I still exercise about 7 hours a week. I teach lots of yoga, and I do lots of yoga with private clients. I do some boxing with private clients. I do 3 sessions a week with my self-love health club. So we do a combination of yoga or weights or different things like that. I go walking most days. I go for a longer walk usually once a week with my mum. So like at least 7 hours a week of exercise. So that's a lot. I eat a healthy, balanced diet. So as I was just talking about before, I sort of go through phases where I might have a day or two when I'm really tired that I don't eat particularly well because I just don't have it in me to cook from scratch. But then my body resets and I go back to eating really pretty well. And I gave up alcohol, and I've replaced the alcohol with sparkling water. So it's not like I've replaced it with Coke or something sugary. And so I've done these things and my body weight hasn't changed, you know, so I gave up the alcohol, I exercise 7 hours a week, I eat pretty well, my body shape's not changing. But since I've done away with diet culture, I'm a lot more confident. I'm a lot less anxious. I have way more energy. I have a lot more brain space to do creative things and to just to be free and happy and, you know, not have to worry about what I'm eating all the time. And people tell me a lot lately, especially in the last year since I've given up alcohol. It's been 18 months. People tell me how I look bright. They say I look glowing, that I'm healthy, that I look really happy, that I sort of sparkle. And these aren't things that people were telling me so much before when I was in diet culture. I might have been thinner, but I didn't have that inner glow that I have now. So, yes, this is a lot to unpack in one episode, but I want you to understand that it is okay to say goodbye to diets because they're exhausting and they rob you of your freedom and they rob you of being who you truly are because you're too busy thinking about the scale and what you should be eating and what exercise you should do. And it's a lot. It's a lot to leave diet culture because it's everywhere. Just because you leave it doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean that it's not in your face all the time. And it can be very hard. So I just want you to know that I'm here if you need support. There's lots of ways that we can work together if you need my personal support. I think probably the best way that we can work together is in my six-month program, which is called Love Yourself to Health. Where we work together for 6 months because, you know, I've got clients doing it now where they're all right for a while and then they get stressed again and they start thinking about diets again. And you can, as I said towards the beginning of this episode, you are an adult. So if you want to choose diets, you definitely can. And there's actually no judgment from me because I know that we're surrounded by this stuff. But I also know how amazing it is to free yourself from this stuff because I've been in both spots, right? So 6 months is a really good amount of time to work on this together. And you also get lots of other bonuses like access to my Self-Love Health Club program, which is an exercise program that doesn't have like a weight loss focus. It's all about joyful, gentle movement and a few other little bonuses along the way. So I'll put a link to that if you're interested in learning more about Love Yourself to Health, which is a six-month program with me. But otherwise, I would just love to know what you think. So feel free to click on the link in the show notes to go to my website and leave a comment. I'm just going to say right now, if it's at all abusive, I will block you because that's what I have to do on Instagram to feel safe. And it's not that I don't want to hear other people's opinions, but I think that you can do that in a respectful way. So feel free to be respectful and disagree, but don't do it in a rude way because I won't accept it. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. This has been a big episode. I hope that it's been helpful and I really would love to know what you think. And I will speak to you next time. Take care. The Big Bellied Yogi is brought to you by me, Emma Paulette, an anti-diet personal trainer, health coach, and yoga teacher. Head over to emmapaulette.com to download your free intuitive movement workout kit.